10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, the program that offers insight and perspective in these end times. I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is WatchmansCry.com. On this program, we're going to discuss some very important things because nation America is in trouble. And this trouble did not just begin today or this week. This country's been in trouble for a number of years. Now, folks, there are things that are about to happen to this nation that are going to affect everyone. Now, another thing that I need to stress is that trying to be informed about our dire situation must be processed through a lens that includes a spiritual and a biblical perspective. When we look at the events that are happening today on planet Earth and across this country, we have to look at them through divine spectacles. It doesn't matter what people come up with to excuse and try to eliminate God from reality. It doesn't matter, folks, because in order to understand what's about to happen to this planet, we must include the divine. God versus Satan, light versus darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, barring the return of Christ, everyone who is listening to me right now will someday meet their earthly fate. And after that point, after our last breath, it's going to be too late to try to figure it out and fix the mess. It's going to be too late to decide whether or not you want to take God seriously. And it's going to be too late to make amends and face the regrets and deal with them. It's going to be too late for excuses. I want to ask you to please, please pay attention to what I'm going to talk about today. Take notes and share this audio message with everyone that you know, with your friends, with family members, and with everyone who needs to hear it. Share it with the stubborn ones. Nathan, that's hard. They don't listen to me. I know it's hard, folks, but do it anyway. And tell them that time is running out. Tell them that you need to share it with them because you care about them. They can get mad if they want, but tell them because you care. Tell them that some bad days are coming. And it's on the news headlines right now. We can't hide it. We can't deny it. The plague is now arriving, folks. And people need to know what to do. People need to know why it's happening. People need to know why it's approaching. They need to know why. There needs to be an understanding. So if you're listening to this program for the first time, if you've never heard this program before, I want to welcome you. Welcome to the truth, my friend. Welcome to a real explanation of reality. Because on these programs, we talk about the truth and the real predicament that we face. We're all facing it, folks. And it doesn't matter how rich and powerful a person thinks they are, no one is immune. The rich and powerful also bleed. They also stumble. And they also wither. The rich and powerful are not bulletproof. Robin Williams, Tom Clancy, Michael Jackson, Steve Jobs, Whitney Houston, John F. Kennedy, the mighty do fall. And then what? Well, then they become a memory, don't they? And after that, they then become another report in the chronicles of God. Now, my friends, I'm not trying to make light of the demise of a human soul, but I'm talking about reality right now. We need to have the eternal perspective in mind. I know in times past it's easy to think about regular life, paying bills, going on vacation, etc. But folks, those things are part of normal living, and normal is behind us. We have entered a new chapter here in America, and this new chapter is going to change the way that we think, the way that we live, the way that we conduct ourselves in so many areas. And folks, It appears that the things that I have been warning about that were coming are now starting to enter the city. And if those things are arriving now, that means that we have to also start dealing with the spiritual things that matter. Now, there are some of you that are already there. The spiritual things are a priority with you. So if what I'm saying right here does not apply to you, please maintain your vigilance. But you know, folks, when you think about it, I don't think any of us can really ever say that we are actually there, because we will not know that we are, quote unquote, there at the spiritual location that we have sought until we are in the fray against the invisible elements. And what I mean by that is when we are living Psalms 91, when we actually get to the point where we have to be in such a condition of strong faith that we're believing God to protect us according to what we read in Psalms 91. That's the goal, folks. And if there are any of you that are listening that may not be there yet, because there's chinks in your armor, there are breaches in your wall, your fortress has a little bit of crust on it and rust, then we need to strengthen our fortress. Time to do that is now, folks. We're running the race, and this race is a marathon, and we have to finish this race. That's why we're here. That's why I'm speaking right now, and that's why you're listening, so that you can be challenged and encouraged to finish your race. No matter where you are, whether you're in No Town, Nebraska, whether you're in the swamplands, the desert, the plateaus, the mountains, the coastlands, and even if you are outside the borders of this country, wherever you are, God is watching your life. He wants to see you through. He wants to see you make an impact with your loved ones, with your friends, with those around you. He wants to see you become an overcomer to the things that in the past have been a yoke around your neck. God loves you, my friends. He has mercy, but at the same time, He is a serious God. And there are things that are now here that are very serious. That's why this ministry exists. I'm going to be up on this wall until the Lord takes me home, and I hope that that's a long time from now. So, if you do appreciate this ministry, we appreciate your gifts of support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. As I was stating earlier today on this program, I have a very important message to share. And it has to do with the events that are happening right now, the headlines that we can find very easily on the Drudge Report. There's a lot of stuff. If you've never heard my program before and you're wondering who is this guy speaking, who's Nathan Liao, let me just give a quick background, because from time to time I get emails and, you know, folks, it's amazing the rumor mill that's out there, because Satan doesn't like this ministry and he will lie and spread slander and lies and say things that aren't true. And I've heard a lot of them. I get emails from you saying, hey, Nathan, did you know they're saying this at this website about you? They say you're a Jehovah's Witness. You're this, you're that. Who am I? I'm a spirit-filled Christian, blood-bought by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And my beliefs are located on my website. You can go to watchmanscry.com, and there's an About Me page, and it says what I believe. But in summary, I come from an old-fashioned Assembly of God Pentecostal background. And I'm sharing this because some people out there don't know this. I'm a minister of God. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I believe that God can do supernatural things. He can work in His children today, because we're in the last days, and He's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And you know what, folks? God is going to work miracles in these last days. And that's what this ministry believes in. I believe that God works in powerful ways. And because I believe it, my faith allows God to do something in the life of this servant. God has shown, He has revealed, He has provided glimpses that I have been privileged to see, and I have been sharing those things for years. I'm not the only one. There are thousands of people experiencing this. They are approaching, folks, the days of challenge, the days of darkness, the days of sorrow and grief are approaching. So your duty as a child of God is to be ready, to be vigilant, to understand, and to be positioned, to be used by God. Because He's going to use those that are ready and willing. We're not going to see the end of our days as wimpy, withered, empty souls. We're going to end these days full of the Holy Ghost, doing things for God. That's what I want to be a part of. So if you might be a new listener and you've been looking for a voice that says it like it is and tells the truth and is not afraid of the Holy Spirit gifts and not afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit gifts, then you've come to the right place. Because there are so many pulpits in these last days that have watered down the gospel and they've turned sermons into little talks, and hell has been removed and the power of God has been removed, and the people are now having their ears tickled to the point where there is no power, there's no healing, there's no restoration. Then the people are continued to stay in their spiritual famine, dying of spiritual thirst. You know, folks, that was prophesied. The Bible told us in the last days that would be the condition of this planet. And, well, we're there now, aren't we, folks? Who would have thought 50 years ago that America would become an embarrassment to herself before the entire world? Who would have thought that the people of America would assemble and lobby and proudly proclaim that they no longer wanted God in their lifestyle? Who would have thought that preachers would find themselves under persecution, needing their sermons to be pre-approved like what we are starting to see in Houston, Texas? Who would have thought that satanic assemblies would be a thing that is welcomed and allowed, like we saw in Oklahoma? Who would have thought that state after state would start approving gay marriage and forcing godly people and godly businesses and godly citizens to appease the wants and desires of the homosexual crowd? I don't think our grandparents thought this, or our great-grandparents. I don't think our forefathers thought this. I don't think the heroes of World War I and World War II thought this. But now here we are, folks. Why are we in this mess? Because the Bible has been watered down by the preachers. Man, Nathan, you sound angry. You know what, folks? I'm passionate because I see America melting right now, and I am also continuing to see the sluggish blindness that is infecting the church right now. God is going to work mightily in these last days, and we need to know how we're going to walk through these final minutes, final hours, final months. We need to know how to behave, folks. In order to do that, we have to be thirsty for the truth of God. We have to be thirsty for the power of the Holy Ghost. We have to decide that we're tired of being confused and misinformed. We have to decide we're tired of the lies that are being thrust upon us. We need to take this thing seriously, folks. And there are too many people that are not taking it seriously. There are too many Christians that are still compromising and apathetic and limping along, not realizing their potential. Now, ladies and gentlemen, because of the condition of today's American church, America is in darkness. America's lamp has gone out. And because of this, the sins of the land have increased. And the sins of the land extend beyond the borders of America as well. They extend into the West and the rest of this planet. And because of this, God's going to do some work on this planet. And he's going to allow some things to happen to this planet. And this includes the United States of America. And the chain of events that are coming to this land are impossible to dialogue without including spiritual understanding of divine judgment. We need to have that in our focus when we talk about what time it is. Now, folks, I know that I say the word often, but there is a reality to what it is and what it means. If a person was told by a doctor that he had cancer, that cancer patient would also want to know what kind of cancer it was. He would want to know how bad it is. He'd want to know if there was a cure. He'd want to know if it was found in time and what he could do about it. And he would want to know how much time he had left. He'd want to know what's going to happen to him and what kind of pain he was going to go through, etc. A wise cancer sufferer would want to know all of that information. Now, of course, there are some people that would rather not know and they want to bury their heads in the sand, but I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the wise one. Now, in the same manner, when God judges a land, it happens a certain way. There are symptoms. There is also a cure to stop the judgment. There is a spiritual science, if I may use those words together, to a judgment. And when a judgment happens on a land, the events that happen are not coincidence. They're not random. They are very specific. And from God's perspective, it's a very controlled event when a land is judged. But, of course, from the earth's perspective, it appears as chaos and mayhem. Now, as a servant of God, I have done a lot of seeking to understand these things. If you're a regular listener, you've heard me say this a lot. But it's true, folks. Jeremiah 9:24. It's very important to know Jeremiah 9:24. When Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, a stranger they will not follow. If you know me, you obey my commandments." Jesus gave the admonition many, many times, over and over in the Gospels, that we needed to know him. Well, Jeremiah 9:24 tells us what we're supposed to know about. Because in that verse, it says, "Let the one who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me." Knows what? That I am the Lord, this is God talking, exercising, number one, loving kindness, number two, judgment, and number three, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Let me say that again, folks. God said that he was a God of loving kindness, which is mercy, salvation, grace and mercy, forgiveness, judgment, which is punishment, discipline, chastisement, etc. And also, number three, righteousness, which is holy living, abiding by his statutes, knowing his word. God exercises those three things on the earth, and in those three things he delights. So God wants all of his children. He wants you, my friend. If you call yourself a Christian, if you've been a part of this journey, if you signed up for Jesus at some point, if you're blood bought, you've been forgiven, it doesn't matter what your denomination is. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what your pastor said or what the tenets of faith say or what articles that people in your church wrote or believe. It doesn't matter what the conversation of the potluck is. What matters is what the Bible says. And the Bible tells us if we claim to know God, if we want to say that we know God and that we understand God, then we need to know that God is the God of those three things. Now, in this culture of New Testament, greasy grace, big box, megachurch Christianity, where most of the sermons are motivational speeches, the majority of sermons have to do with the loving kindness and the grace. God is grace. God forgives. That is true. He is. But they don't talk about the other parts of Jeremiah 9:24, which includes judgment and holy living, righteousness. So my friend, if we are wise Christians in these last days, get familiar with these three things. Read the Bible, search them out, do word studies on these three things, and you will find, it's amazing, folks, if you start studying these three things, it makes the makeup of God come alive. Because to understand that God is not just loving kindness, but he's the other things, shows that he is a father that cares about his children, because he does not enable his children to misbehave without doing something about it. God is not that parent at the Walmart who watches the kid throw a fit on the ground and counts, or says time out, or has some wimpy response that does not change the actions of a rebellious child. God is not that way. God deals with us when we misbehave, folks. And if we would actually look through the Bible, this is also in the New Testament. I'm bringing all this up. Now, I know that this is elementary for some of you. It's foundational for some of you. But there are a lot of new listeners that are coming on board, and I'm saying this so that there can be an understanding of this. Nathan, my pastor never taught me this in church. I know. Most preachers don't. And that's why the children are misbehaving in the playground. That's why we're in the mess that we are. Folks, I'm not trying to cut down or insult anybody, any spiritual leader. But I'll say this. If a spiritual leader does not understand Jeremiah 9:24, and if he does not teach his people to know God in this manner, then he's failing. Because to not understand that God exercises judgment on the earth takes away the fear of God from people. It makes people not understand that we should have a healthy fear of God. Now, Paul said, "Therefore, knowing the fear of God, I persuade men." There is a healthy fear of God, folks. You spread fear, Nathan. You talk about fear. Yeah? You know what? I fear going to hell. Is that wrong? You should fear going to hell. You trying to tell me that it's wrong to have a fear of the afterlife that does not involve heaven? You're mistaken, my friend. We need to have a healthy fear of God. Because when we have a healthy fear of God, we also have a reverence for God. It also helps us to behave. It also helps us not to take him for granted. The days have become dark. There are great things that are coming, so that's why I'm talking about this. So we need to learn and have an understanding of these three things, folks. We need to know why judgment happens, why God uses it, and we need to know his expected outcome when a judgment is allowed to happen over a land. Does God have expectations? Or Is God just a sadistic Olympian hurling lightning bolts down in the earth upon the little creatures, the ants? What do you think, folks? Of course God is love, and he is mercy. But, my friend, God does use judgment to get our attention. And sadly, this is where we are right now. Here in the good old USA, the judgment's here. And it has been determined by the God of heaven to occur because something happened. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please hear this next thing that I'm going to say. Please have an understanding of this. You're not going to hear this on CNN or Fox News or even by a lot of pulpits, but this is the part that is very important. The judgment that is coming to America was not God's doing. It was our doing. Our country chose the path that we're on right now. The people spoke. The people acted. And the leadership placed a giant flag of rebellion on top of Mount America, thus sealing our fate. Now, this program is not about all the list of naughty deeds that this nation has committed. I've talked about that a lot in the past. And most of you know them. You know the deeds that America has committed because, well, because we've all participated in those deeds. None of us are innocent, folks. And of course, some people are much more guilty than others. But this is where we are. Uncle Sam has spiritual cancer. And Lady Liberty is now a drunken harlot spreading her spiritual STDs throughout the earth. And Yankee Doodle likes to doodle nasty images and messages on his smartphone. All of those deeds added up. The book of Psalms, chapter 75, verse 8. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and he pours it out. And surely its dregs shall all of the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. The Bible tells us that the cup of iniquity exists, ladies and gentlemen, and every nation has one. Now, that verse I just read stated that the mixture in the cup of iniquity, it says the wine is red. And if you look at the meaning of that word, it actually means the wine is boiling. The mixture of the cup of iniquity is now boiling. And America's cup, it's now full. America's cup of iniquity is now boiling over and spilling out its sludge onto the ground. And those droplets, when they spill out from heaven, are going to come down and land upon the earth. And they're going to land on people and do some horrible things. Now, before I continue, I must be clear, folks. And it's important that everybody gets this. The chain of events that are coming did not originate from a lightning bolt in God's hands. The chain of events that are going to come upon the land of America originated from the divine cup of iniquity that was filled up by the deeds of American citizens. The people filled up the cup, folks. Humans contributed to the cup. And the deeds of the land made it boil. And the arrogance of this nation is causing it to overflow and spill out. And as it spills, now folks, hear this. As it spills out, the people of America will be required to drink it. Psalm 76, verse 8. Its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drink. I'm talking about America right now, but this applies to everyone because this thing's going to be worldwide. But God has called me to be a watchman for America, so that's why I'm speaking to America right now. If you're a part of the West, we're joined at the hip. You're going to feel this thing too. And as people drink it, it's going to be bitter because it's spiritual bile. And it's going to contain a sorrowful mix that brings many tears and much grief. Now, folks, it didn't have to be this way. It didn't have to turn out this way because Jesus already drank from the bitter cup. And while he hung on the cross, he even showed it. They raised the gall on the sponge to his lips. And he drank down the suffering of the cup of iniquity. But today, America denies him. And in denying him, They deny his act of mercy. So now, ladies and gentlemen, there are great woes that are coming. And sadly, they're going to arrive. They will be bitter. They will afflict. And they will bring sorrow. Now, over the years, the Holy Spirit has allowed me to see glimpses of some of these things that are coming. He has shared some things, revealed some things, and whispered some things. And over the years, I have shared many of these things with all of you. I've shared these things in this ministry, in my messages, and I shared many of these things with great sorrow, never with joy. Folks, I have children, and I dread that they are going to have to endure the mess created by their parents and their grandparents. And I don't know if I'm going to live to see it all happen. I don't know. That's God's business. But while I have breath, I'm going to limp up on this wall, and I'm going to take notes of the things I see on the horizon. And the sad part of this developing epic is that nation America has not healed herself, nor can she. She complains a lot. She blames others. She points fingers, but not a peep to the heavens for mercy. And thus, my friends, this is going to play out. It will play out. And the end result will be what God wanted all along. There's going to be an end result, folks. Over the events that are coming, there will be an end result. And it's what God wanted, which will be a humble nation. But America's humbleness will not be because of the virtue of her will. She's going to be humbled by the reality of her new condition. A new condition where she's going to be reduced to a beggar in the alleyway as she looks for leftovers. There's no way to stop it now, folks. It's coming, and our lives are about to change. Now, I always try to do my best to give the details of how this is going to play out, because God requires that his watchmen give details. And that's another thing about God. God is just. His loving kindness requires that he is fair, and he wants everyone to know up front what to expect. So I'm going to share more of what to expect, and I'm going to do it by talking about a recent prophetic dream that I had on October 11th, 2014. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please make note of that date, October 11th. I published this prophetic dream. The date is on it. The reason I'm bringing this up is because in this prophetic glimpse, God gave two signs in this prophetic dream to look for. Two signs, folks. This means that they will happen before your eyes. The signs will happen. So I'm going to share more of what to expect. And any day that we wake up, it could be tomorrow or next week, but the big hammer could have already hit the ground before you crawl out of bed in an upcoming day. And that upcoming day can be very, very close. So I need to relate the urgency of the hour as best I can. So please, my friends, pay attention to the information on this program. Now, today I'm going to share more of what to expect. And in order to share what's coming, I'm going to talk about several things. Later in this program, I'm going to talk about my prophetic warning. And I'm also going to share my thoughts on the battle that we will face in the days ahead as we wade through the onslaught of misinformation and deception. Now, that's another thing that's very important. I need to stress this, folks. With the events that are coming, we're also going to see an onslaught, a barrage, a tsunami of lies and deception that are going to be presented to us through the mainstream media and the state-run propaganda machine. Now, right now, there's a battle to see through all of this mess, folks. And most people don't get it. They don't know this. Those of us that are awake, we do know this. Because the news, now, folks, I can't say this enough. The news is full of lies. The present Ebola pandemic crisis threat that we're facing is being filtered through the state-run media. Now, folks, this means that this story that you're trying to make sense out of and understand, it's manifesting according to the agenda of the New World Order. Our media reporting agencies and the people that you may depend on are all controlled, and they're all working together, and they only release what they're told to release. Ladies and gentlemen, there are oddities and anomalies in this entire story. There are wheels that are turning. There is a huge plan in the making or in motion right now. And when I line it up and consider it with the recent prophetic dream that I had, folks, things are not looking good. Now, there is another anomaly that I have also noticed in this Ebola situation. The two nurses, Nurse Fan and the other nurse, Nina Pham and Amber Joy Vinson, the two nurses who tested positive for Ebola have recently been cured of Ebola. They're cured now, folks. So when you go to the CDC's website and when we see that Ebola is a level 4 bioterrorism contagion, and it's one of the worst diseases on the planet, and when it says that there's no cure for Ebola in the official report, when it says that, now folks, think about that. We have been told there is no cure for Ebola, but in the last few days, we have been told that Amber Joy Vincent is cured of Ebola. And we've also been told that Nina Pham is cured of Ebola. Now, the scientific journals say there's no cure, but the media is telling us that they have been cured. And Barack Obama announced joyfully and with cheer that Nina Pham, the nurse, is cured. He hugged her. Folks, something's wrong with this picture. What's up with that? I have seen many reports that say it stays in your system for 10 years and that some of the people, if they recover from Ebola, they're still carrying the virus within their bodies for up to 70 days. I've also come across some reports that have stated that Ebola does not only appear in individuals with symptoms, but instead that some people can be a carrier of the Ebola virus and not show symptoms. So that's called being asymptomatic, meaning that they could be infected, but they show no symptoms. One report that I was reading said that if this is the case, then containment is virtually impossible because the infected person does not know that they're infected and their everyday activities will add to the spread of the infection. So again, ladies and gentlemen, what's the truth? And over the last few years, I have been sharing and talking about how the New World Order is coming to this planet and how it lines up with Bible prophecy. And the Bible tells us that there's going to be a great deception in the end times. And the Bible tells us that there's going to be a one world government, that the beast is going to use a spirit of deception, and that Satan will be loosed on the earth to carry out more deception on the planet. So if we're in the last days, and I'm sure we can agree on that, then it makes sense that there's going to be a great deception in the last days. Whenever I hear a speech come forth from the federal government, it's necessary that we listen to what they're saying through discernment. We have to be very careful not to believe what they're saying because the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, that there's going to be a great deception. So that means that whatever we hear from the politicians is theoretically not true. Or maybe it's a half-truth. Maybe it's the omission of truth. So if we want to be vigilant and be able to overcome the enemy and endure to the end, then we have to function as Christians that operate outside the normal way of thinking. You have to. It's so important because we're in the age of deception. And I want to play a soundbite from a German news reporter who admitted that the news that he reported over the last few years was canned and controlled. And after a few years of doing this, this reporter said that he got sick of it. And the name of that reporter is Dr. Udo, let's see if I can pronounce his name right, Ulfkott. It's Ulfkotte. And he wrote a book that is exposing the lies of the news media and how the news media is just a giant propaganda machine that's funded by the CIA and all of the covert operative groups that exist in the West. So listen to this soundbite. Here we go.
Well, I've been a journalist for about 25 years, and I was educated to lie, to betray, and not to tell the truth to the public. But seeing right now, within the last months, how the German and American media tries to bring war to the people in Europe, to bring war to Russia, this is a point of no return, and I'm going to stand up and say it is not right what I have done in the past to manipulate people, to make propaganda against Russia, and it is not right what my colleagues do and have done in the past because they are bribed to betray the people, not only in Germany, all over Europe. The reason writing this book was that I am very fearful of a new war in Europe, and I don't like to have this situation again, because war is never coming from itself. There is always people behind it to push for war. And this is not only politicians, this is journalists too. And I just have written in the book how we have betrayed in the past our readers just to push for war, and because I don't want this anymore. I'm fed up with this propaganda.
There you go. Another reporter coming out and admitting that the news is manufactured and canned. And I'm sure most of you know this. If you've been awake long enough, you know this, that the news is manufactured. But this thing is not a new idea. It's been going on since before television was invented. And one of the biggest machines that has been behind the manufacture of propaganda is Tavistock. Now, I've spoken about Tavistock several times in the past. If you've never heard of it, just Google the word Tavistock, T-A-V-I-S-T-O-C-K. Tavistock is a propaganda machine who has been responsible for starting and maintaining and gaining public support for pretty much all of the wars of the last 100 years. They're a very powerful psychological group. They have mastered the science of public opinion manipulation. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are watching the theater of deception for the end times before our very eyes. Now, Tavistock is funded by wealthy corporations, by the oligarchs. And they're involved with the CIA, MI5, MI6, all of the secret covert groups that exist in the Western world. They are very good at what they do. But now let's move forward, ladies and gentlemen. Now we have this new event taking place, the Ebola threat. And I have been looking at this thing over the past few weeks just like you have, and every day I read the news, I read the reports, and I'm trying to make sense of it. And the challenge in doing this is to be able to filter through all the bylines, through all the distractions, the red herrings. And I know it's not easy. If you are an awake person and you're trying to make sense of all this, you're trying to align yourself with the will of God, you want to be able to respond and be where God wants you to be. You want to be functional with the will of God. You want to make the correct plans. You don't want to be deceived. You don't want to react according to fear. You want to be able to follow the will of God according to the truth. So if we're going to be able to do that, we have to be able to sift through this situation and figure out whether we're being lied to or whether this is a real threat that's going on. Now, I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that has gone through this mental process, because I've spoken to some of my colleagues that are fellow watchmen and that have radio programs, and they have told me that they're struggling with the same thing. And I'm pretty sure that some of you are struggling with the same thing. So what is the true situation? What is going on? Is the Ebola threat a real threat? In other words, is it a real sickness that came and arrived by Mr. Duncan from Africa? And then on its own, without any human interaction, without any human manipulation or help, did the virus infect those nurses? And also, is the virus spreading to the places we're being told? And has it all happened by natural science and coincidence? Or are the events being helped along? Is there human manipulation behind the scenes? Are there handlers behind the scenes? Are there people that are causing this to happen? Are there people that wanted Ebola to spread throughout Africa and then start spreading throughout the world, and they're helping it along? And if the threat is real, how long will it take for infection to spread to every state? You see, folks, those are the questions that I have. Now, I do have some answers, and I am going to present what I believe is very, very possible. I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but I have to qualify. The worst case scenario can infect a lot of people and become a plague and a pestilence and kill many, many people if God doesn't stop it. So one of the most important part of the equation is the variable of God and His mercy. And that's one thing that cannot be overlooked or ignored. We can't forget that, folks, because God is real and God's doing something right now on this planet. That is without argument. And God is also allowing something to happen in the United States of America. That is without argument. His judgment is here. So the question is, how bad is the judgment going to get? Now, as I was stating, when I have tried to figure this thing out and process it. The challenge is to filter it through the mind of Christ. I have to filter it through the eternal and spiritual reality of God and the devil. Now, if I didn't do that, then I would find myself trying to process it through the mind of man, in the natural mind. And so this is what I'm trying to say. I know that there are many of you out there that are trying to figure this thing out. So I'm presenting this way of looking at it so that you can have the right tools to filter through it. Because the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is you need to know the will of God. And you need to know what the true threat is. And you need to be able to process it through the mind of Christ in relation to Scripture and also in relation to knowing and understanding what time it is. If we limit ourselves to the mind of man and the mind of the natural, then there could be a tendency to just say it's a conspiracy theory. It's not real. They're making the threat worse than it really is. They are showing the threat to be something that's really not there because they just want to scare everybody, just like they did during the swine flu epidemic. It's not really as bad as they're saying. They're just wearing those hazmat suits to scare everybody. So I know that there's a tendency to think that way. And by the way, that might be true. It could be all theater. But my friends, nevertheless, if it is theater, why are they doing it? And again, we have to include that our government has been exposed for deception. But the deception always has an end game. And we have to also include that in the equation. What is the end game? Who stands to gain? Who stands to benefit? What is the end result going to be? In other words, when it has to do with the government doing these things, when it has to do with the policies of the administration, there is an end game. And the end game is going to be tied to new presidential orders, executive orders, and new laws that are going to continue to tighten the noose over this country and over our lives. So I'm going to present my prophetic dream, ladies and gentlemen, but I brought this up first because I want you to know that I have also thought about it. So in thinking about the regular part of the situation that I just mentioned, the conspiracy, it's not real, it's a production, I just wanted you to know that even though I receive prophetic visions from God, I also wrestle with the natural questions. I'm a regular person just like you. So the bottom line of this whole situation, folks, is that we need the counsel of God. We need to know what the truth is. And that means that God has the truth available for us if we seek it out. The Bible says the secrets of the Lord are for those who fear Him. There are secrets. There are conversations occurring right now behind closed doors by mighty people who are in power. And they make plans that are very devious. Those plans are their quote-unquote secrets. But God is allowing it to happen. And God knows what they're saying. So through the spiritual gifts and through the gifts of the prophetic, God can tell us what they're saying, what they're thinking, and what they have in store. So that's where the job of a watchman comes in. God allows people who are watchmen, servants, messengers, to see these things so that they can present the information to the people, to warn them, so that their blood will not be on their hands. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want anyone's blood on my hands. So that's why I'm presenting this whole matter to all of you. So let's talk about my prophetic dream. Now, to begin, I need to state that when God gives a prophetic dream to anybody, there is always going to be a handicap. And the handicap can consist of various things. It could consist of not really being able to understand all of the images that were shown. There could be a handicap of not being able to interpret them. Basically, it has to do with we only know in part and prophesy in part. And if you have yourself received a prophetic dream, you know what I'm talking about. We do not know everything. And whenever God gives me a prophetic dream, I often have to ask others for their advice, and that's what I did. When I woke up, I talked to my wife, and I also called up some other people, and I talked about it. I asked them what they thought, and then I sought God. And then, after seeking God, I had to start dissecting it and breaking it down, and then I had to do some research. I looked in the scriptures. There's a lot of work that goes behind a prophetic dream, for me at least, because I do not necessarily always have the gift of interpreting my own dreams. I've often had to ask other people who were able to show me things that I didn't see right up front. So after I had this dream, I woke up, I shared it, I sought God, and then I published it. And You might have read it already, and if you haven't, it's located on my website, watchmanscry.com, and it's called Watchman's Cry Alert, A Prophetic Warning, The Coming Crash and Collapse of America. Now, in this prophetic dream, this is what happened. I was standing in a downtown area of a very large city in America. I knew it was in America, and that's the other thing about dreams. Many times when I'm at a location, I don't have to see a sign telling me where it is. I just know where I am. That's one of the things that occurs with me when I'm in a prophetic dream. And also, I'm very aware of the compass on the map. I know which direction north is, south, east, and west. That seems to be a normal thing in my prophetic dreams. So I was standing in a downtown area looking at the skyline. And I don't know what city it was, but I was looking north at the skyline. And the buildings were 20 to 30 to 40 stories tall. Suddenly, from the right side of my vision, from the east, I saw a white passenger plane. It was an airliner flying sideways. In other words, it was in a quarter turn with its left wing facing down. It was in a steep dive. It had no markings, so I was not able to make out which airline it was. But it was approaching from the east, and it was going toward the ground. As it went behind the building in front of me, I no longer could see it, but then I saw the flash and the smoke and the loud explosion and everything that goes with a plane crash. So I ran toward the crash, and instantly I was inside of a building overlooking the downtown area to the street below where the plane had crashed. I was at approximately the 30th floor looking down, and the window to the room where I was looking out was not blown out. But as I looked out at all the buildings around me, I could see that for about a half mile radius, most of the windows and all of the buildings were blown out. And many of the buildings had damage. There was structural damage. Some of the facing was gone. And in some of them, part of the buildings were missing. So it was a very, very powerful explosion. Some of the buildings were leaning. And as I was scanning the damage, one of the buildings right across from me caught my attention. And I couldn't take my eyes off it. I just kept looking at it. And I was thinking to myself, that building looks very odd. It was leaning over, and this building looked like it was made out of grain silos. And some of you might know what I'm talking about. There's buildings, they look like tubes. You know, a grain silo is a real long elevator-type building that's round where they store grain. And some of those silos can be very, very tall. They can be 10, 20, 30, 40 stories tall. And this building was made out of silos. And from my vantage point, I could see that it consisted of between 4 to 6 tubes that made up its structure. And most of the tubes of the building were leaning a few degrees, 15 to 20 degrees, away from the blast. And then I also noticed that there was a very, very large sign, as wide as all of the tubes, that was attached to the building. But I couldn't read what the sign said. It was a very huge sign. It occupied the entire site of this building. I also noticed that this silo building had structural damage, where huge chunks of it were missing. Now, it didn't collapse. It was leaning on several of the silos. There was a big hole in it. So as I was looking at this, I was thinking to myself, wow, that thing looks like a grain silo, but it's empty. There's no grain in it. I wonder why. Now, all of this took place in the matter of a few seconds. And then, as I was thinking about that, I suddenly found myself in the middle of the street. And as I was looking around at all of the damage, I heard people start to scream, and I looked up, and a rocket came down and smashed to pieces on the street right in front of me. Now, this rocket was pointed down, and it was red, white, and blue. The appearance of this rocket looked kind of like, remember the Apollo rockets? It had a similar shape, and it was red, white, and blue, and it came straight down, but there was no explosion. There was no fireball. It just broke into a bunch of pieces. It was red, white, and blue. Now, if you have read my article about this prophecy, and you've seen some of those images were made by my son, who plays around with 3D programs, and I asked him to render some images for me. So he made those images. So those images are not exactly how I saw in my dream, because when my son made the rocket for me and gave it to me, and then I uploaded it, I noticed that it was white, red, and blue in the picture that he made, but the real rocket that I saw was red, white, and blue. The blue and red were not touching, like in my picture on the website. And I have received a few emails about that. It was red, white, and blue. So it was an American rocket. It was not a Russian rocket. I want to make that very clear. It was ours. So that happened. And then as I was observing the mess that the rocket made, within a few seconds, something else came out of the sky and smashed on the ground. And this thing was also very odd. It was a giant electric sign. And when I say electric sign, you know the electric signs that will sit on a pole and they're very big, they're very large, they light up. They have fluorescent lights on the inside of them and they often have a face on the front, a plastic face with the words. Well, that's what this sign looked like. It was an electric sign and it fell and it landed flat on its back and it hit the street, but it did not break. There was a very, very loud sound of crashing metal and the thud from the force of its impact. And it did shake the ground, and when it landed, everyone around me started screaming and running around in panic. Now, as I looked at this sign, it was about 20 to 30 feet across, and the thickness was about 10 feet, and the sides of it were painted green. It looked like there were handles on each side of it, like you would see on a pan, and these handles were made out of steel rebar, and they were also painted green. But on the surface of the sign, it said the words Standard Oil. And as I was looking at this image, I was back in the building on the 30th floor wondering what was next. I was also able to hear what the other people were thinking in all of the buildings. They were scared that something else was going to come out of the sky and crush the building where they were. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know if they should stay in the buildings. But as a result, they all scattered. They left the buildings, and then the streets were full of thousands running around. So as I was looking at their horror and their panic, then the dream was over and I woke up. In order to interpret a prophetic dream, as I stated earlier, there's a lot of work involved. And one of the most important things to always keep in mind is that often a prophetic dream will be symbolic or it will be literal. But many times it's symbolic. And the images that we see represent other things. But let's start out with the very beginning of the dream, the white plane. The white plane that I saw at the beginning represented several things. Number one, it was unmarked and it was white. Why was it unmarked and why was it white? I believe that it was white because it was a plane of deception. White represents oftentimes the truth and holiness and purity when we consider it in the category of God or good things. But the Bible also tells us that Satan appears as the angel of light. And we can read about the first horseman of the apocalypse who rides a white horse who goes out to conquer. So white can also be deception. And since we are in the end times, there's going to be a lot of deception. And deception is playing out right now before our eyes, folks. Deception will try its best to appear noble and right and good. And it will appear to have your safety in mind as its priority, when in reality, it's a hooded reaper that wants to bring forth death. When Hitler killed all of those people at his internment camps, what did the murderous, devilish vampires do? They told the people they're going to take a shower. So the people went, had water come down, and then cyanide came out and killed them all. So white represents in this dream deception. Now, I stated in my article that the United Nations has white planes. That's another thing that I want to bring up right now. And I want to relate it to this Ebola situation, because I believe that this dream is related to the Ebola situation. I really, really do, folks. Now, the white plane of deception. Ebola is being brought to the United States by travel. It's arriving by travel, by planes. Planes have been used to bring the infected Ebola patients here. Now, I want to make one thing clear. Since this was a dream from God, and I have no doubt that it was, because some things have already manifested and proven themselves, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But I believe, ladies and gentlemen, some bad things are going to happen in our country. Now, I do not have a timeline, but I'm just letting you know that some very heavy-duty things are coming. Now, moving on. The white plane represents transport. It was an airliner, so it was carrying a cargo of either people or things. And its cargo, whatever it was, went down with the plane. The plane crashed, and so whatever the cargo was impacted the downtown area that I was observing, and it caused great damage. Now, was the damage totally literal? In other words, was the force of an explosion from whatever was inside the plane the reason that all the buildings were demolished? Was it a suitcase nuclear bomb inside the plane that caused that damage? I can't discount that. Possibly that's what it was, but I don't think it was limited to that. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment, because Right now, we have two threats in two entirely different categories. We have ISIS that are involved in their jihadist crusade, causing massive death. And then we have the Ebola crisis, which is a pestilence. Now, ISIS, if they eventually arrive within the borders of the United States of America and begin a terrorist campaign, those events will fall under the category of the sword judgment. I have often talked about this, and I have stated the fourfold judgment has four categories. Famine, which is economic hardship and people having lost wealth. There's breadlines, people are on food stamps, etc., etc. The United States has been going through that category of judgment since the crash of September 28, 2008, when the stock market went down 777. And we are in year six of that thing. Famine can be caused by a variety of things. So the United States right now is in a season of famine, ladies and gentlemen. The fourfold judgment starts with famine. And the way God has set it up is God then will wait. He will be patient from his place, from heaven, and he'll look down and he'll see how the people are going to respond. And he will make note if the people then get it and start to repent and cry out to him, then God will stop the famine and the next part of the judgment will stop. And the next part happens to be the release of wild beasts. And you've often heard me say this, ladies and gentlemen, the beast judgment consists of demonic evil spirits. In the last days, the beast will rise up. Mark of the beast. The beast is powered by Satan. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this world. And he has his minions and his demonic soldiers who are demons and evil spirits. So the beast's power over the earth has to do with evil spirits. That judgment has begun also. We are starting to see the release of evil, and that's where ISIS comes in. The satanic hordes have infected ISIS. And then it moves on to the next part of the judgment, which is the sword, where we see a lot of people die with bloodshed, war, battle, terrorist attacks, invasion, occupation, tyranny, etc. And then another part of the judgment is pestilence and famine. So that's the four parts. So ladies and gentlemen, we have not turned here in America toward God. We haven't. Therefore, the next phases are going to arrive here in America. So that's why I'm very concerned, because I'm expecting the beast judgment and the sword judgment and the pestilence judgment to arrive here. Now, the one that arrives next is God's business, and it is also on God's timing. And I plan to talk about the order of these judgments as they happen when we look into the scriptures, because we can study this thing and understand it and find the clues in the scriptures. And I'm going to talk about that in an upcoming program. But for right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're facing the next three parts of the judgment. So pestilence and plague is where people get sick and they start dying. Now, let's look at what's going on in the news. Interesting that we have the Ebola thing arriving. So now in my dream, let's put it together. The plane arrived and it crashed. The payload caused an explosion, a great explosion. There was a lot of damage. But the question that I have is, was the explosion only limited to a suitcase nuke? And if it was a suitcase nuke, who did it? Well, at the moment, being that ISIS has already made threats and they have already stated that they plan to invade America and they're going to bring terrorism here and car bombs and explosions and all of that mess, they seem to fit the bill. Again, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't tell me every detail of who the players are going to be. I do believe that eventually we are going to see that. Now, another thing that I have to qualify is that sometimes when God gives a prophetic dream to one of his children, and that could be anyone, not just me, it could be some of you, and you see an event that is very doom-filled and apocalyptic, one of the challenges is to be able to decipher whether what you saw was an event as part of the ongoing judgment on America that's happening right now, or was it an event that's going to take place in the tribulation period in the future? One of the challenges in trying to decipher that is when a person has a prophetic dream and it's so incredible and powerful and mighty, there's a tendency to think it's impending. It's going to happen next week. So there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of passion. You got to share it with everybody, but then time will start to pass and it doesn't happen. So does that mean it was false? Does that mean that you're a false prophet now? No, it just means it hasn't happened yet. David Wilkerson saw a lot of bad stuff, and now he's in heaven. And he saw some things happen 40 years ago. Dimitri Dudeman saw things happen decades ago. The prophet Jeremiah saw events happen to Jerusalem 40 years in advance. And he went through five different regimes. And he continually warned for 40 years that Babylon was going to come. And the people thought he was crazy. They made fun of him. They mocked him. They scoffed him. But he continued in his faithfulness, and eventually it did happen. So that's the handicap. That's why I say over and over, we know in part and we prophesy in part. There's no way around that. I know I'm spending a lot of time with this, folks, but I'm helping those of you that might not understand this gift or may not understand how it works. So the white plane, let me tell you what I think, folks. I think it was multifaceted and multi-layered. Terrorism is going to come to the United States. That's the bottom line. That's the summary. Terrorism is going to be allowed to happen because we are in judgment. So what could a plane bring to the United States that would cause a lot of problems? The plane that I saw was tilted in a quarter turn so that its left wing was pointed down. And I believe that means that the left wing is involved in the destruction of this country. Oh, come on, Nathan, you're getting political. Folks, there's no way to escape the political when we're looking at the landscape and the current events. If you look at the book of Judges, Chronicles, Kings, and you go through the whole Testament, there are many times where the first words of the chapter will say, and so-and-so became king, and he did either good in the sight of the Lord, or he did evil in the sight of the Lord. We read that over and over in the scriptures. The kings did good or bad. And the kings were the political part of Israeli society back then. The politics of a country will guide the country to desolation or to prosperity. And the willingness of the leader of a country, whether he's a king, a president, dictator, whatever, his heart and the condition of his heart and the choices of his heart, whether they be good or evil, will decide where that nation's going to end up. Right now, the United States is being steered. Sorry I had to say it, folks. Barack Hussein Obama is not a Christian. He doesn't give glory to God. And he continues to say that we're a Muslim nation. Just on the last few days, he was interviewed by some reporters in France, and he said that the Muslim population of the United States is one of the largest Muslim populations in the world, which is not true. There is less than 1% Muslims in this country. But Mr. Obama continues to give them credit for things that they did not do. And he continues to deny Christianity, which in reality established this nation. So we have a leader right now that falls under the category of not so good. And I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings, folks, if you happen to be a supporter of Obama. I'm sorry. But getting back to the planes, what does that mean? What's the end result going to be? In summary, ladies and gentlemen, destruction to our country is going to arrive through planes. The loss of wealth is going to happen through planes. In other words, the markets will crash as the plane brings in its payload of terrorism or Ebola or whatever the contents are. The end result will be it's going to destroy the markets in America, and it's going to affect the economy in ways that we cannot imagine. Also, because we are continuing to see that planes are used to transport Ebola patients and victims, it's already having an effect on the mindset of travelers. Travelers do not like this idea that in order to go to a party or a wedding or to a family reunion, they have to ride in a plane full of Ebola. I don't think that's going to sit well with people as this Ebola threat continues to grow. So we could see the stocks of airlines crash and plummet. In other words, the stock market could be affected by this Ebola threat in the airline industry. Now, folks, think about this. It could hurt the economy because air transport is tied to the use of oil and fuel, and then the jobs that are involved in the airline industry, shipping cargo. And how about that one? There's a lot of cargo transportation that happens with planes. So this plane, when it went down, crashed, and it affected the downtown area that I was looking. So in summary, I believe that it's going to affect the economy. It can affect the value of airline stocks, which will then affect the oil markets. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. So, in summary, what was the damage of the white plane? How do we watch out for these events coming? Well, it's going to be multifaceted. Be watching for the Ebola story, and be watching for airline values and stocks to start plummeting. If this thing continues at the rate it's going, it's going to affect the airline industry. Then that's going to have a huge blow in our economy. And then we have the literal threat of a terrorist attack that I do believe eventually is going to happen here in the United States as the judgment continues. Now, again, folks, I don't have a date for that happening, but at the rate that America is continuing to enact insane legislation and attitude and social policies and social decisions, as we continue to see the attitude of basic Americans who deny God, then I do believe that eventually we're going to see a terrorist attack. And if some of you say, well, Nathan, but America can repent. You know what, folks? There is a language that human beings understand. Most human beings do not change their actions until there's great pain, until there's sorrow, until there's grief. It usually takes grief to wake somebody up. Most people do not wake up and become sorrowful for their sins the same day they win the lottery. Most people do not humble themselves and repent when things are great, when they're in the middle of their celebration. They just don't. And when we look at the Bible, we see that over and over the people do not cry out to God until they are watching the events of horror take place around them, which consist of dead bodies. And, you know, here in the United States, most people cannot even fathom living in a world where there are carcasses in the ditch and they just walk by them on the way to school or the way to work. Most Americans don't think that way because they haven't seen it. But right now, that's taking place in other parts of the world. ISIS has heads on sticks. There are bodies scattered and littering the ground in Syria and in Iraq and Afghanistan. This is happening. Down in Africa, we see it happening. And then when we look at Ebola, there's a lot of dead bodies in Africa because of Ebola. But here in America, people can't imagine that. So what sort of mental influence would occur if those sorts of images were here in the United States? What would it do to people, folks? It would shatter the regular way of thinking, and it would place the eternal perspective to the front of the line in a lot of people's thinking, just like 9/11 did. You folks remember that? After 9/11, everybody cried for 3 weeks. And then after the three-week grieving process, everything went back to normal. I remember that. I watched it happen. Everyone was sad and wondering why, but then the grief left, and they went back to their regular way of living. So what is it going to take for America to repent? It's going to take dead bodies. It's going to take carcasses rotting in the street, folks. It's going to take having to smell the stench of rotting or burning flesh. The United States would have to get to some sort of calamity where that becomes more common. But aside from that happening, I do not see America repenting because Americans live in a bubble. So this thing's going to continue, folks, and it's going to last for several years. So now let's move on. After I saw the plane crash, I saw the building that looked like a silo. Now, what did that represent? What did it mean? I believe that it represented what it looked like. And I stated this in the article that I put out. The silo building represented what it was. It was a grain silo, and there was a huge sign attached to this building. And after I thought about it, I prayed about it, I realized that it wasn't important that I knew or remembered what the sign said because I really couldn't make it out. But the important thing was to make note that the sign on the building meant that the building itself was a sign, a prophetic sign. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's real important that I stress this. This will be a sign. And I can say this with confidence because I know that this was an image from God. I know it was a glimpse from God, a prophetic dream. So the silo that I saw is going to play a role to prove itself to everyone that's listening right now. There will be a sign of a building that is shaped like a silo at some point in the future that's going to play out in this development that's happening right now. What do you mean, Nathan? I believe that a building that looks like a grain silo is going to be on the news. I'm stepping out in faith to say that. The sign of the grain silo is a part of the puzzle. When God gives prophetic dreams, he uses symbolism very often, and the symbolism involves parables at times and puzzles. God loves parables and puzzles because then it hides the truth from some people that don't get it. So ladies and gentlemen, there is a secret code to this. I fully believe this. When I released this prophetic alert, I got a few emails from some of you who sent me pictures of buildings that were modeled after silos in different parts of the country. Some of you asked me, was it this building? Let me say this. I am not sure how the sign is going to reveal itself. I don't know if the sign is going to reveal itself in a literal building where, for example, that explodes, it looks like a grain silo. It could. Let me say this, folks. It could. There could be a building that looks like a silo in the news in the days ahead. But what I'm trying to stress here is, since there was a sign on the building, that means that that building that I saw that looked like a grain silo is a part of the puzzle of how this thing's going to play out. Now, there's one thing that I'm wondering about, and I'm going to share it right now. Because I myself did some searching for buildings that look like silos. And I saw that there are many of them throughout the country. There's a lot of them. But the prophetic meaning of this dream is not just limited to a building that looks like a silo. The prophetic meaning has to do with what grain represents and what a grain silo represents. A grain silo represents grain, food, the store of food, the availability of food. Since this building had a giant hole on the side, several of them, and it was empty, I believe that one of the signs is going to be that food is going to become expensive. Food's going to be affected by the events that are coming. Again, folks, food. Not just grain, but food. There will be a scarcity of food. Now, what could cause such a thing? We can speculate. We can try to guess. Some of our guessing might be true, or it might not be true. But the message that God had was, the storehouse of food will be unavailable. So, one of the big warnings that I have right now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're taking notes, please make note of this. Food is going to become affected, and the value of food, the price of food, is going to be affected. Please make note of this, and I want to throw out this challenge to all of you. After you're done with this program, if you're married, if you're a husband, if you're a father, and you're listening to this, talk to your wife about this. If you're a wife, talk to your husband about this. And you guys pray together and ask God how to prepare for this. Because I believe that food is going to get affected. The price of food is going to skyrocket. Ladies and gentlemen, pray with your loved ones, with friends, or if you're alone, pray and ask him how to deal with this thing, how to prepare for it. And then try your best to put the effort into obtaining food right now. Obtain a storehouse of extra food right now while you can afford it. Folks, there's ways to do it. That's where faith in God comes in. That's where the wisdom of God comes in. To ask him for creative measures, creative ways to come up with ideas to get food. If you have something sitting in the closet that you've never used, you haven't used it in a while, or you have things in the garage or in storage, you haven't used them in a while, right now is the time to be liquidating some things that you don't need and investing in some things that you will need. So, ladies and gentlemen, the silo part of my dream is very important. And I need to stress that. As the dream progressed, I was in the street and I saw the rocket come down and fragment on the ground. What was that rocket? Well, I don't think I have to apply much effort to convince most of you that America's in trouble right now. Many of you have been anticipating that eventually at some point the crash is coming, the economic crash. Most of you know this. So in my dream, whatever the reason was, it happened, folks. So what does this mean? This means that America is going to find herself at some point in the future broken of her pride and her power. The rocket broke into a bunch of pieces. And right now America has a lot of pride. Even still, even though we've been in this mess since 2008 and we're in year 6 of this downturn, which I believe is a veiled depression, by the way, even though we're in this horrible economy, America is still full of herself and full of pride. And that's going to be part of the downfall. Eventually, America's pride and power, when it does crash, will affect many parts of the things that she holds in high regard, like her military, her status in the world. And eventually, it's going to be beyond argument. It's going to be in front of everybody. It's going to be very obvious because America will find herself broken. And as a result, there's going to be great panic and weeping. And I say that because when the rocket hit the ground, I heard the weeping. I heard the cries. I heard the fear in a lot of people. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't believe that it happened. The image of this rocket crashing was so horrible to them that they just wept and wept. I heard the cries from men and women. And when there is great delirium over a society because people do not know what to do, because they've never really thought about it and they've never really mentally processed what they would do in the event of those things, There's a variety of responses that can happen with different people. Some people, if they have a military background or if they're older and mature, can usually try, and I qualify those words, they can usually try to not freak out. But the members of society that are able to discipline themselves, in my opinion, are very low. There's not a lot of people that are disciplined enough not to freak out. Because, folks, we've already seen how people act on Black Friday. We have already seen how people are acting in Missouri. The race riots that, folks, just think about that. The only thing that I can say, folks, is we're going to be in trouble. Especially in areas where there's a higher level of people on welfare in the inner city. It's going to be absolute mayhem. And you know, folks, we could spend an entire program discussing how the social strength or the virtue of American citizens is now flawed and broken. And because of that, the way that they're going to react when this thing happens, it's going to be absolutely off the charts. Because when lawlessness takes over, when panic ensues and people start operating out of fear, the spirit of delirium and frenzy takes over. And we're going to see that and we're going to observe it. I could do a whole show on that, but I have to move on. And this next part has to do with the sign that fell on the ground. And I described it earlier, Standard Oil. It was an electric sign. It hit the ground with a loud sound of metal crushing. Now, this sign has great symbolism. It represents a lot of things. It was painted green, and it had the word Standard Oil on it. And this sign is also another quote-unquote sign that you can be looking for. What do you mean look for it, Nathan? Well, let's break down what it means, and then you'll know what to look for. On the surface, the word Standard Oil. Standard Oil was one of the first cabals that existed in the United States. It was owned by John D. Rockefeller in the early 1900s. And John D. Rockefeller was a very shrewd and crafty businessman. He owned all of the oil market of the United States of America. He had a monopoly. Now, there were a few independent ones that were small, but for the most part, he owned all the big ones. He was a very wealthy man. And when Standard Oil existed, their corporate office was in two locations. The first location was in Cleveland, Ohio. And then they moved to New York City. When I released this alert, when I was typing this up, I was prompted to ask the question, okay, since Standard Oil is a quote-unquote sign in my prophetic dream, then God was giving a hint that through this image that I saw, there's going to be a sign in reality. So my discipline and my challenge was to try to figure out which part of the Standard Oil history is the sign. Because I believe, ladies and gentlemen, there is going to be a sign related to this thing. So when I found out that it was located in Cleveland, I wonder if any of the events that are coming are going to occur in either Cleveland, Ohio, or New York City. And I included that in my article. If you have it in front of you, you can see. I put that in. I typed that up on Sunday the 12th, and then it was available on the 13th. But I wondered, will Cleveland, Ohio? And if so, what role will Cleveland play, or what role will New York play? Is there a plane that's going to hit a building in Cleveland, Ohio, or New York? See, folks, I was thinking about all this. I was wondering to myself. I was thinking out loud. And then I wondered, well, is something Ebola-related going to happen in either Cleveland or New York? Well, it turns out that if a second nurse, Amber Joy Vinson, has been on the news recently. But before she reported that she was sick, she got on a plane from Dallas and went to Cleveland. And then she went and visited her family who lives in Akron, Ohio. After the weekend was over, she got on a plane and came back. And when she rode on that plane, she had a fever of 99.5. And you probably have heard that story already. It's all over the place. It's world news. So a lot of people are asking why. Why in the world would that nurse get on a plane? According to some of the reports that I have read, they say it's not entirely her fault because she called the CDC and asked permission to get on the plane. And when they said, are you sick? She said, well, I have a fever of 99.5. And so they looked in their little chart, and the chart said it has to be over 100 to be a threat. So, yeah, go ahead and get on the plane. Apparently, she did think about it, but she was told that it was all clear by the CDC. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to process that. She rode on a plane. The airline did not know that an Ebola-infected person was on their plane, breathing their air, exhaling and leaving their bodily fluids and sweat and who knows what else on the plane, contaminating the plane. So she got back to Dallas, and then that plane went through its regular maintenance routine where between flights, a maintenance worker would go into the plane and they have between 5 and 7 minutes to pick up wrappers of peanuts and sweep out the plane and vacuum, change the garbage in 5 minutes, and then new people come in. So the plane went through the cycle of five different trips, ladies and gentlemen. So another question, did it spread? Did other people pick up one of those little virus strands and contaminate themselves? And then that takes us back into the conversation we were having at the beginning of this program. Is it a real threat? Is it theater? How real is it? How legit? Right now, I'm pretty sure there's some people who rode on those planes that are holding their breath. And they're going to be holding their breath for a number of weeks. They're scared. Do they go to work? Do they stay home? How many hundreds of people are affected by that? What about the pilots? What about the flight attendants? The maintenance worker? You see, folks, this thing has the potential to be a bomb. So getting back to Standard Oil, I saw a sign that said Standard Oil crashed. Standard Oil is related to the oil markets. And after Standard Oil existed for a number of years in the early 1900s, a lawsuit was brought against them, and it was determined that they were violating antitrust laws and that they were a monopoly. So they were forced to break apart into several oil companies, and that's where we got Amoco and Texaco and Enco, which became Exxon, etc. And Standard Oil then was a lot of small companies, so they wouldn't be a monopoly. However, that didn't stop him. Side note, Mr. John D. Rockefeller used dummy companies to buy up those same ones that he dismantled. So he had his hand in the cookie jar the whole time. But Standard Oil eventually became part of the conglomerate of oil companies and the cabal of what drives America and influences much of the decision-making of foreign policy. And that has to do with oil and the dollar, because after World War II, the dollar became the reserve currency for the whole world. And it was related to oil, to the petrodollar. Most of you know this. This is New World Order Information 101. And the Federal Reserve had its paws all over that deal to make the dollar the world currency. They loved it because the Federal Reserve is privately owned by, now get this, folks. If we go back to Mr. John D. Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller wanted to have control of all portions from when oil was taken out of the ground to the processing, to the transportation, to where it ended up at the gas station. He wanted control of every part of the industry. John D. Rockefeller was invited to be a part of the board of directors of U.S. Steel, which was the largest steel company in the world at the time. U.S. Steel was owned by J.P. Morgan, which was purchased from Andrew Carnegie. That deal made Andrew Carnegie very, very wealthy. That occurred in the very early 1900s. But J.P. Morgan owned U.S. Steel, which was also a monopoly of all the steel factories throughout the country. And J.P. Morgan invited Rockefeller to be a part of the board of directors of U.S. Steel. So Rockefeller was involved in many parts of industry. And when you look at the names of these very wealthy men, these magnates, these oligarchs, they had a lot of power and a lot of control. And over the course of a few years, eventually J.P. Morgan, who owned the steel industry and was also joined at the hip to the oil industry, J.P. Morgan also owns the bank Chase Manhattan, which is part owner of the Federal Reserve. And by the way, I found it interesting the sides had rebar to handle the sign, to handle Standard Oil. Steel was used to handle it. Well, the handlers of oil are the Federal Reserve. That's what that meant. The rebar handles on the sides of the sign. So these names that I'm throwing out, or their descendants, their children, were involved in setting up this cabal here in the United States of America. So Standard Oil, in summary, represents the dollar, the greenback. And after World War II, the Bretton Woods Agreement established that if nations wanted to buy and sell things from one another, they would use dollars. And then, of course, the Federal Reserve and one of their offshoots, the IMF, International Monetary Fund, would happily oversee those transactions. Things went well for the United States for a while. But in 1971, when Richard Nixon closed the gold window and he took the United States off the gold standard, That changed the foundation of the Bretton Woods Agreement, which encouraged the world to use the dollar as a reserve currency. Because without the dollar being backed by gold, it essentially had no value. So when Richard Nixon took the dollar off of the gold standard, he also did something else. He met with Saudi Arabia, and with the help of Henry Kissinger, he negotiated a deal that if they would continue using dollars in exchange for oil, he would provide military protection for them and arms. After Nixon made that deal with Saudi Arabia, other OPEC countries followed suit, and they made similar deals. And that arrangement went pretty well for a few decades, until the year 2000. And when we look at the arrangement of the petrodollar in relation to the world and Middle Eastern politics, it kind of explains what's going on over there. And it gives us a perspective of the real reason that America is engaged in war. In September of the year 2000, Saddam Hussein, or may I say the late Saddam Hussein, announced that he was no longer going to use dollars for Iraqi oil. He said he was going to start using the euro. Now think about this date, September 2000. September 2000 was 1 year before 9/11. 9/11 happened in 2001. And after 9/11 happened, we went into Iraq and demolished them, and also ensured that they would continue using the American dollar. So what do you think, folks? Is that an odd coincidence? But then, in February of 2009, the late Libyan leader, Muammar Gaddafi, remember him, folks? He was named the chairman of the African Union. By the way, did you know that there's an African Union? Well, that is in formation, and Gaddafi was going to be named as the leader. And one of the proposals that he announced was that he wanted to develop a single currency for the African Union. Just like the European Union has their euro, Gaddafi proposed a single currency for Africa. And then what did we see happen to him a few years later? In 2011, what happened to him, folks? Gaddafi was toppled as the leader of Libya. They butchered him. And then, of course, we had all of the other drama that occurred in Libya. We had Benghazi and all of that mess. But how many of you find that to be another coincidence? So two leaders in the Middle East were killed or toppled or removed when they talked about renouncing their loyalty to the petrodollar. And when we began to examine Middle Eastern events and recent wars and policies that appear to be chaos at first glance, but then when we look at them through the lens of the petrodollar, some of the developments began making sense. And unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, the bad news for America is that America has been a bulldog bully to the world, forcing the world to continue using the greenback as the petrodollar in the Middle East. Now in the year 2014, many world leaders have grown weary and tired of this arrangement. And this includes Russia, China, India, essentially the BRIC nations, as well as a large portion of the Middle East. And folks, sadly, there is going to be an endgame to this. The world has decided they want no more of the petrodollar. So in my prophetic dream, when I saw Standard Oil fall out of the sky and land on the ground, that represented also, aside from the dollar being the world's reserve currency, it also represented the petrodollar because it was an oil company sign that fell on the ground. So this was a prophetic signal. Please make note of this. The relationship of oil and dollars and the United States of America is going to change drastically. Now, I don't have the exact date of when this is going to happen because my dream did not show this. But if the petrodollar were to be nullified in the Middle East, and if the euro took over, or if Russia took over with a basket of currencies, because Russia is also a very powerful oil producer in the world, and if petrodollars no longer existed, if next week the world said, "Dear Uncle Sam, starting next week, we're not going to use petrodollars. We're going to use our own currency." If that were to happen, ladies and gentlemen, overnight, the markets would collapse. The stock market would collapse. The commodity markets would collapse. The treasuries, they would all go into a free fall. A free fall that would collapse the entire economy of this country. And then a chain reaction would develop that would spread to Europe, in the European markets would then begin collapsing. Because any country that owned dollars at that point, that owned treasuries, that was holding dollars in reserve, would find themselves holding paper that was worthless. So here's the part of this warning that's very, very sobering. When this thing happens, it's going to hit hard, it's going to hit mighty, and it's going to change life as we know it here in the United States, as well as those of you who live outside of the borders. If you happen to be an expat, you're listening to this program from South America or Europe or Australia, if you're an expat and you rely on American-denominated monies, retirement funds, etc., you're going to feel it too. Everyone's going to feel this thing, folks. Everyone will. Now, the BRIC nations, Russia, China, and those other nations have already been preparing for this. They have been situating themselves so that when this happens, the sting will not hurt them as bad. That's why China has been buying up gold like crazy over the last few years. India has also been doing the same thing. The BRIC nations are getting fully prepared and situated so that they will not feel the pain as bad as us. So, my friends, this is a warning from God. Now, earlier I mentioned the two cities, Cleveland and New York, as being possible cities where some of the things could take place. And when I released my initial alert, I asked that question, if some of the events were going to happen in Cleveland or New York, because Standard Oil's original corporate offices were in Cleveland, and then they moved to New York City. Well, as you know, in the news, we have been hearing now that some things have been happening in Cleveland with the Ebola crisis. It's not a huge story, but we did hear Cleveland in the news, and now we have the other Ebola patient who's from New York City recently in the news. So is that a coincidence, folks? The two cities where Standard Oil started, Cleveland and New York, now we have that story. Well, I want to add a third potential city that might be involved in future events. And I want to qualify this. God gave me a puzzle, a parable, and since then I have been trying to work through it and understand it. And if Cleveland and New York has already manifested thus far, I want to add this third city. When I saw the Standard Oil sign fall to the ground, it had handles on the side made out of rebar steel. And as we have been discussing this, we've been able to see that part of the interpretation for the rebar and the steel involves J.P. Morgan, who owned U.S. Steel. John D. Rockefeller sat on the board of U.S. Steel when they first formed. They were a part of the same machine. And U.S. Steel has had two cities where their corporate offices have existed. And the two cities are, number one, New York City, and that's located in Liberty Plaza in Lower Manhattan. The other location for U.S. Steel is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I'm wondering this, folks. Since Cleveland and New York have already manifested themselves using the same sort of logic to this prophetic enigma, is it possible that Pittsburgh is also going to see something happen? I'm throwing that out. And let me say this. A part of me does think that something will happen in Pittsburgh. Now, I want to be very clear. That's not prophetic. I'm not prophesying. I am just saying, based on what I've uncovered so far, I would expect that Pittsburgh will play a role. Now, I don't know what role that will be. I'm not sure. But I do see that. So I want to just leave that on the table, that not a prophecy, but I'm wondering. Now, if you happen to live in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area, take it to God. When I was looking at downtown Pittsburgh, I looked for a building that resembled what I saw, that looked like silos. And there are no silo buildings per se in Pittsburgh. However, there is one building that does resemble, from a distance, possibly a silo building, and that is the Oxford building in Pittsburgh. So am I saying something's going to happen to the Oxford building? I'm just leaving it at that. All right, folks? Now, getting back to the petrodollar. When the petrodollar is finally abandoned in this world, everything's going to change. I cannot say that enough, ladies and gentlemen. Everything will change. So now, ladies and gentlemen, what do we have? We have the price of food is going to be affected in the future. We have America's power and pride and stability is going to come crashing to the ground. And the standard of living is going to come crashing to the ground. Standard Oil, tied to the dollar. The Standard Oil is also tied to our standard of living. It's also tied to the dollar being the quote-unquote standard. You see, folks, the word standard was very profound. And then on top of that, we have the threat of ISIS and a terrorist attack. So this is going to be a multi-tiered event because we have a multi-tiered threat. Now, folks, I don't have a timeline of this. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm very concerned that we're right at the edge of these things happening. Life is going to change here in America, and it's going to affect our lifestyle. It's going to affect our standard of living. It's going to affect our ability to get food. Food prices are going to go up, and as a result, there's going to be great panic. There's going to be great pain. There's going to be a lot of damage, and I also expect to see the final thing, the explosion. I do believe that a terrorist attack will eventually happen. This is going to change everything, folks. And a lot of people are going to suffer in ways that have not been seen since the 1800s. The United States is going to be crippled, and the standard of living is going to decline into second and third world conditions. And folks, the Constitution of the United States is going to suffer a fatal blow. A fatal blow, because it can no longer maintain itself. And Uncle Sam can no longer resist the tyranny. A lot of this has been engineered by the New World Order, and they want this to happen. But the thing that needs to be kept within our perspective and view is that God is going to allow it to happen, folks. And the reason he's going to let it happen is because of our spiritual condition. We cannot get away from that. When the spiritual condition declines, then God has no choice. So this thing has its own momentum, and it's going to continue to snowball to the point where we get there. Now, I have to wrap this thing up. I've spent a lot of time. I know this has been a long program, but I want to ask all of you to please, please pray about everything that I just said. Take it to God. Talk about it with your family members, and be looking for the signs that I just mentioned, the grain silo sign and the oil market sign. Those are signs, folks. And when you start seeing these things happen, then that's going to confirm that this thing's from God. In closing, I want to leave all of you with the great challenge to please make your spiritual health and your spiritual maintenance the number one priority with you, with your loved ones, with your spouse, and with your family. Pray for your loved ones. If you have a spouse that's not where you are, not on board where you are, then pray for them, folks. Fast for them. Stand in the gap for them. Cry out to God for them. Get alone with God, and you lift them up. Get alone, my friends. You lift your hands to the air and you say, God, here's my loved one. Let your spirit draw them towards you. My friend, the time is limited, and I don't know if we have another year. I don't know if we have a few months or a few weeks. I don't know, folks. But in the remaining time that we have, we need to make sure we focus on this now. And then after you have able to work on your spirit, then work on your preparation. I know that many of you who listen to this program regularly are on board with the spiritual part of the equation, and you want to please God. You want to maintain a heart after Him. You want to walk in repentance and holiness and righteousness. But if some of you might be struggling, maybe you're not quite where you want to be, you're not happy and satisfied because you know you're struggling with things, there's yokes and addictions and strongholds, etc., and you're having a hard time, I want to encourage you, my friend, to make it a priority, to get right with God. If you're a prodigal and you're away from Him, God's waiting, and He's waiting to forgive. You see, folks, that's the purpose of a judgment. A judgment is a chastisement so that we come back to Him. If we're able to come back to Him in advance, then He will watch over us, and then we will gain favor in His eyes so that He will protect us. When these events happen, my friends, if Ebola becomes a rampant plague across this land, we need to be protected under Psalms 91. Now, I don't think that we're just going to be limited to Ebola. I believe that there's going to be other diseases that are going to also become part of the headlines. So we need to be finding God's protection now. Psalms 91, folks, that's what it's about. The shelter, the secret place, so that He can watch over us. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that this was a long message. Again, share it. And folks, remember us in your prayers and in your support. Our website is watchmanscry.com. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Well, my friends, stay safe, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.